It is November 1988. Kokomo by the Beach Boys tops Billboard, and that's all you care about because you love geography, and of course, why wouldn't you, given the unique geographic properties of both the town and state in which you live, and will not stand for the creation of a fake island nation in a Billboard number one hit. So, you did the right thing and spent 90 minutes on a Sunday afternoon reorganizing the song alphabetically by actual place names when you should have been reading Sassy Magazine to talk about it with your friends. Well, time's up, and it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
That Kokomo edit was so disturbing.
It felt like someone kept bumping the record player. And you're like, stop jumping near the record player.
It's like petting a dog the wrong way. Like, it's just, it's unsettling. It's unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But good job.
Yeah. Worth your time, Dave?
I didn't do it. Every time. I have to remind you guys that this is a glimpse into the life of this sassy reader, and I am just relaying what has happened in the month in which we are talking about. So in November 1988, after hearing the song Kokomo by the Beach Boys, which was one of the number one hits in November, this reader who lives in a geographically significant town and state and loves geography got kind of miffed at the fact that this number one hit had this fake island nation in it. So she took it upon herself to rearrange the song alphabetically only by actual place names.
Definitely understood that. But is it done with a tape to tape? Was it a dual cassette recorder?
I think
so. Did she tape it with like scotch
tape? It
was
A cassette, B cassette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope by now she has an Oscar for editing. Sound editing.
The problem is now is the Port-au-Prince part really didn't age well. So
yeah. It's not such a vacation. Yeah.
But how was she to know back in 88?
This video for Kokomo was, you know, generational bonding because you had Uncle Jesse playing the bongos with the Beach Boys. And it would, like, at least at my house, it caused problems because it would be things like, but he's not a real Beach Boy.
the sanctity of the Beach Boys.
They never heard about,
listen,
features on a track.
They didn't enjoy young people in their old people stuff.
Yeah.
So was this song made for Cocktail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And what's really funny is I just did the quick math, and my parents were 38 getting this mad at me about young people being in their old people music.
It's funny how that happens.
Wow.
It's upsetting. It's like me watching Teen Mom and seeing, like, the grandparents are younger than me. Granted, that's a lot of generational mistakes or, you know, non-planning.
Choices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't like it.
Oh,
so let's
boy.
Talk about In Our Lives in November 1988. I have one, and that is going to see the movie They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper. This is a John Carpenter film about aliens who have landed on Earth. And basically, they're like super capitalists, and they want to control the Earth by controlling our consumption of consumer goods.
Right.
That's kind of the gist. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of this sort of slightly anti-capitalist giant Hollywood blockbuster attempt, there is a fight scene between Roddy Piper and Keith David. Thank you. I always have to pause for a second and think.
I think that's a person. I don't remember if
Keith
he was
David from Enlisted.
Yeah. Yes.
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 Not David Keith,
not
which
David
is why
Keith.
I always have to pause.
Correct.
They have a wrestling match that started in 1988 and just finished 5 minutes ago.
Which is surprising because Roddy Piper died a while ago.
That's how long it is. Still fighting in the afterlife.
Yeah. Number two at the box office was Scrooged, which I went to see. We were visiting my grandparents in Mississauga, a suburb outside of Toronto. And that was a big, exciting deal to go and see Scrooged, which I still think is a very good Christmas movie. Dave disagrees. It's not one of his faves.
I just never saw it when I was a kid, so I didn't really have that connection. And it's fine, but I don't feel the need to watch it every year. It's not like one of those. It's no Die Hard.
this Rolling Stone had the comedy issue with David Letterman and Johnny Carson, and Guns N' Roses was on the cover. This was an important Rolling Stone. No page, not taped to my wall, I'm guessing, which is why I don't have any of it. This was, I think, really when I got into Guns N' Roses, and because I was living in Mississippi, so it was a little late, the zeitgeist of junior high. But I do feel like this is when I was like, I can't fight this anymore. Wait, this is different than Poison. Wait, I think I like this band as opposed to Motley Crue or Metallica or whatever.
What's the hot thing delay for Mississippi? Because we had that effect in Canada, and it was approximately 14 months. It was like a year plus just a little bit.
Yeah.
And be like stonewashed jeans would come in, and like you'd cross the border into America to do shopping, and everybody's laughing at you. You're so 14 months ago, Canuck, they would say. So what's the Mississippi delay?
It wasn't quite that bad because we had cable and such. It was whether or not it fought through dominant culture.
Right.
So it was tough. There was a lot of R&B and there was a lot of country and Christian influence. It was really, you were just a real weirdo to be listening to Guns N' Roses. You were already like punk slacker.
So instead of They Live, you got He Live.
You got He Live. Yeah, He Lives Arisen. He Lives Risen. That fight scene is still going on, as you know.
The battle versus good and evil will go on until Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, we're almost done.
Yeah.
Praise him under his eye. What would happen was, say I moved from one state to the next, there would be a small delay depending on which company owned the radio stations at the time. So I would somehow know about Genesis. Like these weren't, nothing made me cool. I'd get to the next place and they had Reeboks
Genesis
already.
Genesis is cool.
I mean, I was
80s
just like,
Genesis.
I just want a supercut of me doing these things. Like, you guys have never heard of Invisible Touch? Like, I just want this geek, useless
from two,
supercut.
3 years ago, that one? Look, I went to the Invisible. That was my first concert ever. I went to the Invisible Touch. I think we talked about this already.
Wow.
But I went to the Invisible Touch tour at Exhibition Place. Mm-hmm. Once again, the Mistake by the Lake.
Yep. Yes. I want a Mistake by the Lake t-shirt. Put it on the merch. Let's get into this month's super snarky What Now by Christina Kelly, who I think was grumpy at the end for her last couple of things. She's like, you know what? I don't even like animals anymore by the end of this. So I went down an unnecessary rabbit hole. You don't have to do this. But the very first one says, if you buy the new version of Petula Clark's classic 65 song Downtown by the Invasion Group, parentheses, funky New York musicians, you'll benefit the American Foundation for AIDS Research and the Gay Men's Health Crisis. And it's a pretty Groovox song, too. Every sentence, I was like, I have to figure out what this is about. I don't know why it became like a mission. Mm-hmm. And the downtown chorus is one of those Wikipedia counting sheep specials where you just look up each person. You're like, look, this is a movie. This is a movie. This is a limited series.
Don't read this whole list because it's like 7 lines long in our doc, but we'll link it in the show notes so that everyone can see. Holy crow, everyone really was on this track.
I don't even know how they got them all. It doesn't seem like they could have gotten them all in the same room, We Are the World style, because I feel like some of these people hate some of these other people.
Probably. Curtis Sliwa.
And he brought all the guardian angels with him? That alone is going to fill the room.
It's true. If you took RuPaul out, it sounds like you're making names up with a gun to your head dare.
Yeah.
Albert Prudhoe, Stephen Cohn, Willie DeVille, Johnny Dinell, Lisa E., Karen
Leatherdale.
Yes! Who is it? Michelangelo Signorelli. Richie Slats. It's Snooki and Tish.
You got all these people in the room and you have the guardian angels. Well, the guardian angels, because they are part of the population of the room, sort of have this sort of computer feedback loop where they're supposed to protect you from maximum occupancy, but they're part of the problem of maximum occupancy and they all explode.
I don't think that's one of their mandates. I think it's mostly roughing up black and brown people on the streets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I started looking at people and I had to stop at Chris Butler. Do you guys know who Chris Butler is?
No.
He created The Waitresses. So I know what boys like. I know what girls want. He wrote the theme song for Square Pegs.
We are square pegs. Look at those square pegs.
Went close enough, went to Kent State University. He was one of the crowd of students fired on by the Ohio National Guard.
Whoa.
Then,
please don't shoot me. I am over here on the field.
Then he was the band leader for Two Drink Minimum on Comedy Central. He holds the 97 Guinness World Book of World Records for the longest pop song recording in history, a 69-minute song called The Devil Glitch.
Nice.
Genesis has a 23-minute song called Supper's Ready. That's cool.
You guys haven't heard about Supper's Ready? Anyway, isn't that enough alone that you were like, what's going on, Chris Butler? And he's in this compilation album with the Max Ocasio and Kenny Bosa and Chichi Valenti. Hey, we got Trevor King in here.
Pretty sure Chichi Valenti is Spike from Bensonhurst. Like little buddy. What are we going to do now, Spike? Mm-hmm. That'll make more sense later. Speaking about things that don't work, how about the sassy glossary aggro?
Aggro is still a slang term in use.
I use it.
But this is not the meaning. They say it's a synonym for the adjective cool. No, it's not. It's like short for aggressive. The end of this is the word's origin. Who knows? It's short for aggressive. Like everyone knows it's half the word. So, yeah, the incorrect usage. It's a bit aggro out. So don't forget your jacket, honey. Like that's closer to how we actually do use it, except it would be like it's a bit aggro out. So don't forget your mace.
Right. I have to wonder, though, if this is another nonsensical Australian import where they actually do use it that way because it's a continent full of criminals and they don't know what's what.
Or they did at the time. I mean, we definitely do have Australian listeners, so please sound off. Call in and tell us.
If you're not in prison.
Yeah.
Or you're in prison and you have access to a payphone. Give us a call.
720-SASS-GO.
Because I feel like we should probably invest in a couple of contemporary Dolly magazines, if that exists, and see if they are reusing content or something like that. Because there is still, like when we started this podcast, we conjectured, and I think rightly so, that obviously, you know, because Sassy has an Australian publisher and Australian staff members, that they were sort of double dipping on some content from Dolly.
Yes, that was never going to make it to the US.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're still getting some of that. I mean, what was the glossy entry last time that Australians said, like, that is actually something we do?
Spunk. And
spunk, yeah. Like that, like, come on, Australia. But anyways, but let us know if that is actually a proper Australian usage, in which case we have to once again, I thought this was America. Like, come on, let's go.
Wow. Says the Canadian. It's, but
hey, wait. And American.
That's true. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry and sorry. I forgot. Your guns
We're the
are right.
most American because we had to pay money to become good
right.
little capitalists, unlike
That's
some
true.
People, Pam.
Sorry. I thought this aggro might be skater related before we blame Australia.
But I feel like aggro, like it started with skaters in its proper usage of anything, because that is very...
Yeah.
You know, like you don't make the trick 20 times in a row. You're super aggro about it. Like that makes sense to me. Not using it just as a nonsense word whenever you want. You know, like it's not flibbity flu.
Okay. I think we've gotten aggro enough over this. What is this? You're so pleased with yourself, Dean.
There's an item about Jane Weedlin from the Go-Go's and how she has become an animal rights activist. Describes that she really does not just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She's been arrested 5 times for protesting the alleged abuse of animals. I'm not sure how alleged it is. But the end of it is like...
It's alleged when you have a lot of ads bought by Noxzema.
I guess. That's a great point. But the end of it is, does Jane really think demonstrating can stop cruel treatment of animals? In this very, like, does Jane really think that protesting can stop cruelty of animals? Like... Yes, obviously she thinks that. That's how protesting works.
This page has a lot of lady-on-lady dissing when they shouldn't.
Yeah, it's real... Like Pam said, it's a very snotty what now this month.
Like, ugh, what now?
Yeah.
Cranky.
Anyway, I was just surprised. I feel like the Overton window on animal rights discourse has changed a lot in the time since this was published, because, like, only the most psychotically right-wing publication would be this patronizing about it.
I feel like I should know what that means, but I don't. Overton window?
No, totally had to look that up. Just want everyone to know.
Is it going
to
make me aggro?
It's the range of policies politically acceptable to the mainstream population at a given time. It's also known as the window of discourse. So another great example is, like, when we moved here in 2007, no one was talking about socialized healthcare, for example. And now that's part of, like, normal mainstream conversations. No one's planning to give it to us, but at least it's something that people are talking about. So you say the Overton window on that issue has moved.
It sounded to me like it's like a Gantt chart of topics. You know, when it starts, you know, when it kind of hits the mainstream and you got
sort of.
Yeah. If you can organize your life by a Gantt chart, you're sitting pretty.
You and your Gantt charts.
I don't know what a Gantt chart is either.
Oh, you don't know what a Gantt chart
is. I'll find out next time. Obviously, we've moved on.
After show, Gantt chart, after show.
Starla Gantt. Okay. Oh my goodness.
So mean, Dave.
So
wait, no,
upsetting.
It's not mean. It's great. First of all, it's Pam doing a great sound effect, and it's the Super Friends sound. Come on, guys.
Dear Keanu, it says here in purple, we wanted you to know that a woman from a film company that's making a major anti-crack movie asked us who would be better for the leading role, Keanu Reeves or River Phoenix. Naturally, we said you. Now will you go out with Jane, your friends at Sassy? And first of all, I was like, I wonder if that became my own private Idaho. But then I was like, no, that's totally the wrong year. So I tried to find what a major anti-crack movie might be coming out in 1989. And I found A Nightmare on Drug Street. Dave, did you pull any of these clips?
I pulled that giant 2-minute clip that you wanted. So is that what you want?
Would you like to hear it?
Sure would.
Hi, I'm dead. Well, actually, my name is Jill. Well, it is, or it was, or whatever. Anyway, I'm dead, but you know what I mean. I'm Jill, this is Felipe, and this is Eddie, and we've all been dead for about the same amount of time.
Actually, I've been dead 2 days longer, but we've pretty much lost count.
They're just sitting on a stage, they're sitting on a stage, 3 chairs, spotlight on them. We're like, am I watching a play? Okay.
And they all have toe tags on still.
Yes, they all have toe tags. Thank you.
Not like we got a lot of things to do. I mean, actually, we've got nothing to do.
Zero. Zip. I want to list the things that we do have because we don't have any. But let me list the things that we don't have.
Please listen, because if you listen, maybe he'll stop talking about it.
Hey, just start with the basic staples of life. No hamburgers, no pizza, no movies, no television. Forget about MTV, no music.
No cars. No dates.
No Genesis.
No basketball games. No movies.
I already said movies.
And homework. You know, I used to hate homework. And I'd love some homework now.
No new clothes. No telephone. Imagine going through the rest of the day without a telephone.
Hey, you got nobody to talk to anyway.
No boyfriends. No girlfriends. No grandparents. No mom. No dad.
No kid brother who's always stealing your underwear out of your drawer. If my kid brother was here, I'd give him the underwear.
All right. I think the point is that while we're here, we're supposed to ponder our mistakes.
And boy, have we pondered.
And pondered and pondered and pondered some more.
The point is, we're supposed to figure out where we went wrong.
I know where. Dope.
Yeah. And sure, it was dope. We had our chances. We didn't have to go all the way.
Well, you can decide for yourself. We'll be the narrators. I'll do Felipe this time.
Oh, we don't have to go through this again, do we? Well, at least let me do Jill this time.
All right. I'll do Eddie again. I always have to do Eddie.
All right, you ready?
Here we go, kids. A Nightmare on Drugs. A real scary movie.
Worst episode of The Good Place ever. That one guy was Jason, by the way. Apparently, he sounds just like him.
Felipe is friggin' Raymond Cruz, who was Tuco Salamanca on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the whole thing yet because I wanted to wait for someone to watch it with me, but I can't wait to watch the rest of it. This is one of those things where like your school's making you watch this on a hot day and you're trapped and everybody who laughs gets in trouble and eventually everyone's in trouble. Mm-hmm. And even the sub has to be like, this is so fucking stupid. I'm sorry. And then somehow you have to do that opening play for dramatic interp with two friends and everyone makes fun of you because they all did it during a class.
And by the way, a very Catholic view on what happens when you die. They're in sort of some stagecraft purgatory situation.
Yeah, this description sounds like those SNL sketches with all the kids doing plays with like all in black with the black cubes and they like move them around and they're like racism and then it's like a different play yeah. 1 second later.
Yes, I was in this play essentially, but it was called like the kids you're mean to. And
right.
It turns out that they've had a hard time. Wow! That's what you'll be saying when you're going to the Swatch Impact Pro Tour. Remember all the skaters, some of whom you should not look up to anymore? They are on tour with Swatch skating and biking. In one clip I found, going on Club MTV in what looks like the most dangerous ramp ever built. The whole time that they're on it, they're like, wow, whoa, that's dangerous.
According to the ad, it's a live vertical freestyle and video spectacular, unlike anything ever observed by human eyes.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I think this, you know, we have this to thank for the X Games, I'm going to guess. And so even though it's very mockable at the moment because it's brought to you by Swatch and in a mall, as we all learned from MTV's Museum of Unnatural History, if it's Antiphony, the mall is where it's at, man. It's how the teens find things.
Speaking of the skaters we should not look up, we watched Thrashin' recently.
Mm.
Rogowski is one of the actual skating ringers who I don't think probably had any lines, but we saw his name in the credits and we're like, oh, exactly like that.
How was your thrashing experience?
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. We watched Tough Turf the next week, which is like similar, but not as good.
Thrashing really was like everything you want of that time period.
Yes.
Like it has all the tropes genuinely presented.
Yeah. Mwah. And it's the same tropes that we have seen Pam in like 7,000 different dance movies. It's all the same story beats. It's just instead of dancing, it's skateboarding.
So the National Music Library, I'm reading, is this cool place, but I'm sure that's true, where you can borrow all kinds of albums from Ziggy Marley to Brahms to Guns N' Roses through the mail. You just need a National Music Library library card, redundant, and you can check out one thing at a time and keep it for as long as you want. $25 for the first year, and you get access to tapes, books on tape, and sheet music. What? For $79, you get access to all that plus CDs. I suppose that was a prohibitive cost. Why didn't I do that?
This does seem like the kind of thing you would have done.
This seems like the kind of thing I'd be all over. Maybe you can't scam it as well for a penny. Mm. And I was like, why do I need to do that? I have all these tapes.
But it sounds like it operates on original Netflix.
Yeah. Yes.
That you can only have one thing and you have to mail it back before you can request the next one. So even if you just get it, copy it the same day onto cassette and send it back, you're still looking at maybe 1.2 a month or something like that. Probably.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses, there's another thing here in What Now about they were just curious how Axl got his name. So it says, I called up Guns N' Roses, his record company, and they said his parents gave it to him. And she says, I felt like an idiot. And Tara wrote here in the show notes, I bet Pam knows offhand what the W stands for. And I do, because it's William,
yep.
Which is also his name. There's a whole story about W. Axl Rose. But I also remember when they were like, because it stands for war, which is not true.
Yeah, I put this on our Instagram and the first commenter was like, that wasn't his name. It was William Bailey. So bad research. Mm-hmm. Christina.
But the point being that his parents did not give him the name Axl as part of his name. So it actually, she shouldn't feel stupid for asking the question. She should have asked the question more.
Yeah, he was in a band called Axl. And then people were like... Actually, it doesn't matter.
Tell you what does matter. The investigation into who invented the hacky sack. Hacky sacks, those strange tiny bags that people kick around alone or in a group, were invented in the early 70s. in Oregon City. Take me down to Oregon City where the sax are hacky and the girls are pretty. I want you to please save it home.
How long were you sitting on that? I just picture you like wiggling. Just wiggling like, and then I'm going to say the hacks are sagging.
I can tell you approximately 45 minutes.
Worth it.
We can skip this rape one. That's not funny.
Okay. Oh, please just keep it.
Can I leave it in? Returning to the theme of Christina, no offense, but being kind of on the rag this month, she has an item called Five Things I Have Learned. And one of them is, I still can't believe this. Things they like to say. I've wanted to be an actor, actress, singer since I was old enough to walk, talk, go potty. And then gives examples of who said this. I'm not just a sex symbol. And the last one is, I am a normal person who feels pain just like you do. Jason Gedrick. And then another parenthesis, gag, period. We read that article. He fucking talked about suicidal ideation. Like, he is a person who feels pain just like you do. Why are you being such a bitch about it? Yikes. Burning question of the month. Are you all dying to know what happened to Marisol, the Vanna White of MTV's aggro game show remote control? Well, after just 7 months of working with sexy MC Ken Ober, sidebar what, she decided to leave and pursue a career in movies. I can see why. Marisol and her equally seemingly vacuous replacement, Kari.
Well, it's Kari. Yeah, they've spelled it wrong. It's Kari Wer.
Okay.
They spelled it with a C and it's a K. I'm just upset that they called her vacuous. It's Kari Wer. God
right.
Damn it.
She's such a believable airhead. I guess she must be a great actress, right? So I really wanted this Marisol to turn out to be Marisol Nichols, who is now on Riverdale as Veronica's mother. But this was Marisol Massey, and she actually did not have much of an acting career. Sorry. Although future CSI star Georgia Fox, my favorite, and Dave's, is also in Marisol Massey's three-part after-school special, Tales from the Mall, which is sadly not on YouTube.
Our favorite, and Dave's, slash S.
A three-part after-school special? What is it about?
Tales from the Mall. It's like stories of teens who work at the mall. It sounds like an anthology.
What?
Like Tales of the City, like yes. Armistead Maupin, but Tales, oh my God, I yeah. want to see this.
It's not on YouTube. I can't help you. I looked.
Wow, that feels like a watch along waiting to happen.
Excuse me, Summer Stories, colon, the mall.
That's Young Americans. The Young Americans of its day.
Three-part series about high school graduates contemplating their future while working at the mall. In first impressions, a girl is torn whether to meet her birth mother. That's part one. Part two, second chances, fitting. A girl struggles with her feelings as her mother prepares to remarry years after the death of her father. And finally, in part three, temptations. The gang prepares to go their separate ways as the summer comes to a close. Meanwhile, a recovering teenage alcoholic struggles to stay sober when an old drinking buddy shows up.
What do you think high stakes teen life would have been if people didn't grow up with such access to soap operas all day?
Worse.
Do you think there is a viable show in sort of just vignettes of teenage girls going shopping in a mall? Sort of like, do you remember that show that was called Night Moves that would play overnight on the Toronto Channel, where it was just yes. a camera wandering around Toronto, going up and down subway stairs, going like into closed arcades and stuff like that. And it would just like be filming over this like smooth jazz soundtrack. Same yes. idea, except you're following girls shopping mm-hmm. in major malls. And it's just like, instead of having a soundtrack, you hear them talking about what they want. And
yeah,
all that.
I want to watch this right now.
Yeah.
Can I watch this Night Moves thing now? Like when I just want it in the background when I'm working.
Yeah, I'll link it. I'll find some on YouTube. Somebody put a few on YouTube. But like it would be, you know, before the era of infomercials where they would just sell their overnight time for that. If they didn't sign off at 1 o'clock, which they used to do for the night and come back at 6, they would just run this footage, and it was like early videotape footage, so it was still like when the camera was shitty enough that lights would streak for like 3 seconds whenever they moved too fast and stuff like that. So it's very much of its time, but like it's a very strong memory for anybody that lived in that area. Like there's people listening from Ontario right now going, oh my god, night moves.
Yeah, it feels lonely. Did it seem lonely?
Yes. It's like like when you wake up at 2 a.m. and you decide you're going to walk to the 7-Eleven half a neighborhood away, it's kind of that vibe, except it's downtown Toronto and you can go sort of in public spaces still, like subways. There's this whole thing in Toronto called PATH, which is sort of like an underground city underneath downtown where the subways are connected, but they're connected by retail shops that only live underground with the Morlocks kind of thing. And they go in that a lot. So, yeah, it's very sort of lonely, kind of like post-apocalyptic with jazz.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Anyway, you wanted to stick up for Kari Wurrer.
Oh, I did. I did it in the middle of the thing. You don't call her an airhead. And also, spell her name right. I already said all this. The point is, Kari Wurrer is a national treasure.
I spelled her last name wrong in the doc, but, you know, no offense. She later went on to break up Donna and David on 90210 by sleeping with him.
Is that the actress from Scandal?
Is she in Scandal? I don't think so.
Oh. No, I meant Scandal the movie with the British. Is that her?
That's Joanne Wally Kilmer.
Wally. Oh, okay. I knew it was a W.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
She had good boobs.
Okay.
Starlog juice.
I wanted to see that film so bad when I was whatever because of the video cover.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was accessible because it wasn't like an adult film, but it was like you knew there's boobies.
Oh, for sure.
I wish you guys could see. Dave just looks like the walk sign back and forth. That is him describing a sexy woman. Elbows, elbows, boobs.
I'm doing the fan dance. I'm putting the fans on either side of my body. Because the cover, she's got like big ostrich feathers or something like that. And she's sort of like, you know.
Yeah, it's like a burlesque thing.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I see. You look like a Bobby getting ready to break into... Dick Van Dyke.
No, it's like I got one behind my back and I got one over my boobs and I'm like, you're going to see my boobs. But then the back one comes and covers it just as the other one's leaving. So no boobs for you, fam.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Watch it. Watch it. We've got a bunch of movies. There's a couple here that are kind of not really consequential. We have Miles from Home, which sounds like a proto Hell or High Water, if you've seen that, with Richard Gere as a farmer down on his luck, as all farmers are, apparently, according to Hollywood.
Sure.
And we have Memories of Me with Billy Crystal, which I'm pretty sure that was the title of Carrie's title page only screenplay from the other two episodes that just went on.
Does Miles from Home or Memories of Me seem like a film that you cater to teenagers in Sassy Magazine?
No.
Like, I don't remember. I a little bit remember Memories of Me because of cable. I've never heard of Miles from Home before.
No.
And I'm not watching a Richard Gere farmer film.
But there's a Molly Ringwald film that opened up this month. Fresh Horses? Did they already cover that in the previous month?
It was in What Now? It was teased.
Okay. But like, there's a movie that they should have reviewed because it is speaking directly to the audience. Mm-hmm.
I can't be exiled from Bensonhurst.
Now his fight's in way over his head.
Who do you want to marry anyway, me or my father?
Whatever.
He's down for the count with only one way out.
Organized crime!
That's right, organized crime.
It's the comedy that's a knockout.
Sounds cool.
Spike of Bensonhurst.
This arrangement here is un-Italian.
Spike of Bensonhurst is not a movie I have seen. It may be good, it may be bad. It's impossible to tell other than it got 2 stars because the person they got to review it is my nemesis, Neil. And this is the longest, I think, review that he's submitted, but it's completely content-free.
Read it, and then if you don't know what Spike of Bensonhurst is about, try to guess because he gives zero clues on what actually is
happening.
All
right, here we go. Here's my dramatic reading, though I'm not going to do an Australian accent. This has got italics, to be one of the stupidest movies I've ever seen. The acting was so bad, I might as well have read the script aloud to myself. I mean, italics, give me a break. I felt sorry for the actors who were trying to do something with what little they had to work with. Models slash air quotes actors, Sasha Mitchell and Talisa Soto not included. He didn't seem aware that there were people around him making a movie. She looked great, but did little else. Only Ernest Borgnine came out looking like a real actor, but he's had lots of practice. Anyway, big bomb Neil.
It's like a description of you being invited to a party. You don't know anybody. You just walked in. You're like, well, there's all these people there. They were talking to each other. There's one guy in the corner giving the eye. I didn't like him. Zero stars for this party. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, it's about this guy, and he's like kind of in a mob connected family, and it's just about him sowing his wild oats, I guess, or something like that, going by the trailer.
Right.
And he's very Italian.
Sure.
Sasha Mitchell, the Spike, was in Step by Step. Step by Step, right? From that TV show.
Yeah.
And then he was also in
like martial arts stuff, right?
He was in Rags to Riches in two episodes.
Oof.
So he was in that. He was in that. What? Is that your, you don't like Rags to Riches?
That was one where I thought I liked it. And then I bought the DVDs later in life, like in my 40s. And I watched them all. And I wrote them up for previously.tv and was like, wow, this is unbearable. It's really bad.
This is familiar. But again, I would think it's not really for now.
Sure. Sure.
Oh, he took over the kickboxing franchise from Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's why.
Good I know for that him.
Name. Yeah. Starting with Kickboxer 4, The Aggressor. He went totally aggro on that franchise.
The point is, stop letting Neil review things. Thank you.
The last movie, the bomb of the month, is, they say, Prince of Pennsylvania, but the movie's called The Prince of Pennsylvania, first of all, as Tara has pointed out. Yes. Jane wrote this review and tries to get Keanu-y about it. Stuff Jane wrote. The movie starts. A pair of hiking boots is trekking through a junkyard. I knew immediately they belonged to Keanu Reeves. I'd recognize that cute pigeon-toed walk anywhere. And I sink down in my seat, ready to love this movie. I'm talking 4 stars easy. Then the camera does a close-up on Keanu's face, and I'm revising that projection upward to say 5 stars at least. But just then, Keanu's character Rupert gets one whole side of his gorgeous long brown hair cut off. I try to concentrate on the quality of the movie. From that point on, the stars are falling faster than I can make wishes. The far-fetched plot involves a theater. Who fucking cares? So she's mad about the haircut. And therefore, 1 star. This just wasn't a very aggro review.
I would also say one thing you don't need to include in your movie review is the movie starts. Like, I think we can all assume that it did.
Webster's defines movies as.
Yeah. That is definitely the music for the second montage where the boyfriend and the girlfriend go shopping together.
Absolutely. I've been listening to a lot of like, it's only $10 music lately. And I was like, oh, can we get this? This is like from the man who brought you the movie that made you happy with the boy you used to like. Fuck off, Dennis. We've got a sequel.
This is Cruel Story of Youth, the hit of the month, their self-titled album. You know, no one knew about SEO in 1988, but unless you're pretty sure you're going to eclipse your inspiration, do not make it impossible for future generations to find you by naming yourself after a apparently very well-regarded Japanese movie that I had never heard of until I started doing research for this episode.
Well, me and Pam had problems with our band Rashomon, but that's not the way Pam remembers it.
Yeah. That was, you know what? I'm going to blame our album was overproduced. We had a lot of really good stuff in it. Yeah. It is not how I remember it. I just got your joke!
That's not even his joke. He stole it from The Simpsons.
Stole it from The Simpsons, yeah. Thank you. past performance is not indicative of future results. Neither Dorn Armor Trading or Armor Trading International guarantees any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss following any strategy or investment discussed on the album, The Shouting Stage. Strategies or investments discussed may fluctuate in price or value. Investors may get back less than invested. Investments or strategies mentioned on Joe Armor Trading's The Shouting Stage may not be suitable for you. Dorn Armor Trading investment material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on the information on Jones Armor Trading Shouting Stage, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances. Now available at record stores everywhere.
Hey, yo, I'm ready to go do this. Yeah, man, it's about that time. It's time to hit the stage. I know what's time for. Hey, yo, Money, remember that step?
Yeah,
yo, my man, we ready. Introduce us.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again.
This whole album is terrible. Woo! This is Masters of Ceremony Dynamite.
Their tribute to the beloved magazine for teens and tweens, Dynamite, that we all love to know.
Yep. I had a subscription to that.
It was great. Yeah. I'd love to read it at the library.
Did I tell the story of my mother ironing on the Dynamite iron-on?
No.
Okay, so at the back of every issue of Dynamite, they had like an iron-on page that you would pull out and you could iron it on at home, except it had like a dotted line that you were supposed to cut the pattern out of.
Yes.
And my mother left that on when she was ironing, thinking no way that would actually be part of the iron-on. So when she lifted it, I was like waiting at the ironing board to put this shirt on. I forget what it was. It was like the logo and something. And she lifts it and there's like parts of a dotted line because she like just like haphazardly cut it.
Yes.
And I was, the word crestfallen was designed for that moment. I was just totally
poor little Dave.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Anyway, can I get Joan Arbitrating playing again? I have one joke. This is what it sounds like when this song comes on and you're watching TV with your mom and things have changed because she's got cable and you're watching something and she just turns to you right here and she goes, "Go to your room." Mom, what? Just go to your room. What are they doing? Go to your room. I just want to see what's going to happen to them. Pamela! I'll call you when this is over. Well, I don't want to miss anything. You'll know when the song ends. That's it. That's my quick play.
There will never be a time when I relinquish you.
Exactly. This is... More Aussie content. This is the Kylie Minogue's semi-self-titled album, Kylie. It gets a modest 2 stars, which seems generous considering how hateful the review is by Karen. But she's like, this is all, it sounds exactly like Rick Astley. And I was like, hey, that's mean. And then I went and looked up clips and was like, oh, that's really true. Like, I think we all can agree she's come into herself as an artist later in life. But like, play that clip again. You totally can sing Never Gonna Give You Up over it. It's the same. Never gonna run around and desert you. It's even the same key.
Yeah. Some producer is like, bang, bang, boom, let's get this one done. He's hot.
Yeah, it's the same producer. It's the same. It's Stock, Aitken, Waterman, I'm pretty sure.
I wonder if they did expose as well. Go with me. Oh, whoa, whoa. Yeah. To the point of no return. This album had Locomotion on it.
Yeah.
And that was everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember that. And I wasn't really paying attention to music.
Yeah.
Another one where my mom was like, ugh, who needed to redo this?
Oh, I thought it would be another one where it's like, Pam, leave the room.
She's too young to learn about trains.
The train is about to go into the tunnel. Out.
Gross. Nasty.
Hello, everybody. I'm
Mick Jones.
And I'm also
Bad Audio Dynamite.
We got a new song called Tighten Up, and this is the music you tighten up with.
Music for that.
Every everybody's first Casio.
I was going to say, whoever bought Mick Jones a soundboard, show yourself out. Because, yikes, I that was the least objectionable track, and I listened to all of them, and everyone that I previewed to clip it for this podcast was doing everything. It was just, they should have called this album Extra, because it was brutal.
The album title is Extra, Tighten Up Volume 88.
Yeah. They later had a hit with Rush, which is a song everyone knows. Situation, all win. Rush for the change. That was them. But that was 3 years from this bullshit. It's no Johnny Appleseed, the most brain sticky song that Mick Jones ever had anything to do with. So sort yourself out. This is bad. Anyway, Pam made a mixtape.
Yeah.
Get out of the room. Pam made you a mixtape.
Hey. I don't know if it's too soon, but I made you a mixtape about everything we've been talking about. November of 88's Sassy. I don't know the future, but I will add some songs if when we talk about songs in the future. Anyway, I gotta go. Set your stomach.
It's time for One to Watch.
You recognize this young man?
I promised a long time ago that if the needle ever moved on One to Watch, I would report back with the new One to Watch success percentage. And this week, I have to update it. Previous to November, it was sitting at 0%. Zero.
I still think George Newbern is like...
No! I don't want to relitigate this, but no. Okay. One to Watch should be a four quadrant success at like in today's terms. And George Newbern, even though he went on and he's a worked, God damn it, I'm doing it. Even though he's a working actor, he's not a household name like this month's One to Watch, Mr. Brad Pitt. And they did this before he really had any of his true breakout roles. So this is a true One to Watch success.
Yeah.
1 out of 9 months, which puts One to Watch success rate at 11.1%.
Yeah. This is 2 years before Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
So they were definitely very prescient. But look at that face. You got that desk, that face crosses your desk. You're like, this one's going places. And he did.
He'd already done 21 Jump Street. So clearly he was on my radar to be watching.
But let me ask you this. Did he do it for you at the time? And what do you think about him now?
Dave, look at him. Did he do it for you at the time? Yes, I remember liking Brad Pitt. I don't know that I knew his name before True Romance. Let's be clear. I feel like that's around the time that I was like, that's Brad Pitt and I like him. And up until like last week when Angelina Jolie's stories came out, I had kind of forgotten about some of the airplane-y things. And, you know, he did that really good rediscovering PR that worked on me and I forgot. Also, he took his shirt off in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and then I forgot things again. Mm-hmm. I'm human. I'm human. I mean, yeah, look at him. Mm-hmm. Then and now. He is very watchable.
Yeah, he's so good looking, he made Christina spell accidentally wrong in this write-up.
Yeah, but he's got sort of Robert Redford aging genes, right? Because he's aging in that same way where he's going to have like wrinkles upon wrinkles, but it's going to work for him the older he gets in that same way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get lost in those wrinkly caverns.
But as Pam says, it's complicated. We hate to see it. I have a lot of links to everything that they mention. You can watch his episode of 21 Jump Street on Peacock. He was in that with Cheryl Pollock from those weird jeans ads that we were talking about many episodes ago. No, that one.
Oh, the Jordache ones?
Yes, Jordache.
The old man bum fight?
Yes.
Like maybe they killed someone? Yes.
Yeah. So Cheryl Pollock was in 21 Jump Street with him, and then they also were in a movie called The Dark Side of the Sun, which everyone in the credits, other than the two of them, has a name that ends in Vic because they shot it in Yugoslavia in like the last, it was like 3-2-1, not a country anymore. He also was in a TV movie called, what they call it here, The Amish Story, about a bunch of kids who accidentally kill a baby, was released as a stoning in Fulham County. This cast is bananas. Ron Perlman, like, I have to pull it up now.
Did Rob Perlman play the Stone? Because he's kind of like kind of character actor.
Ken Olin from 30-something. Jill Eikenberry from L.A. Law. Nicholas Pryor from 90210 in a few years after this. Noble Willingham, who you definitely seen. I believe he's in Raising Arizona, maybe. And Ron Perlman and many others, including Brad Pitt, which is on YouTube. He got around. The end of it is what he does for fun. I go on these tribute to Jack Kerouac weekends. Ugh. I get in a car with my buddies and we just drive. The rules are no personal hygiene items, no change of clothes, and no staying in motels. See you after a shower, dude. Which, like, I get the impression showering is not a big priority for him now either, but I bet his BO smells good.
I bet it does. I bet it does. Yep.
Our first feature is titled He's the One with the Glasses. And here is the situation. They are referring to Kirk Pengilly of In Excess. And she has this whole explanation of like, sure, everyone's curious about Michael Hutchins and he's the front man and blah, blah, blah. But what about this other guy who's also interesting? It's like, no. You called the publicist and said, can I interview Michael Hutchins? And they said, no, but how about Kirk? And you said, okay. And then this article is the result.
Yeah, if you didn't reveal that he was one of the other members of INXS, we just said his name and asked people to guess. You'd be like, is that the guy from Gilmore Girls? Or is that like, you know, that animal that kind of looks like a monitor lizard? And like it would just be all over the place and you would never actually nail who he is.
That movie, that cartoon, the environmental one. No, that's Fern Gully.
Yeah, he looks like the Aaron Burr guy.
Sean Whalen.
He looks like that cover of the Descendants album. Mm-hmm. You know, the 500 miles thing.
Proclaimers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Fido Dido. He looks like actual Fido Dido.
He does. Yeah.
Anyway, he seems fine. But, you know, this article that is ostensibly not about Michael Hutchins is still like, and here's how he met Michael Hutchins. And here's what Michael Hutchins thinks of him. And blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just still mostly about Michael Hutchins.
Sometimes after Michael Hutchins has first dibs at the craft table, this is what Kurt likes to eat. Yeah. I almost asked you a question because I accidentally scrolled too far on my notes, but I'll just ask you and see if it applies to this. What do you think about his boast that he wants to be the white Oprah and have his own talk show? That ever happened for him?
Feature number two, Ricky Lake has 2.5 boyfriends. Dun, dun, dun. There's a picture of Ricky Lake in a little purple coat dress and gloves with sparkles. And she's dressed up in this picture.
She's very cute.
Which is funny because she's very cute, but the whole article is about how down to earth she is. And she just like met her at a diner and is like eating a French dip and talking boys. So the picture is not exactly how this article comes across. But it's a sweet article about Ricky Lake being just fun. And regular. She eats food.
Like fiber, that kind of food?
No, like, you know.
Keeps
like
her regular?
I mean, I'm sure that's part of it. What's that?
Is, look, you just set it
that?
Up.
That was Dave high-fiving
himself. High-fiving myself for my poo joke.
God. I thought you had a fly in there that you were trying to get rid of. That's how uncool you high-fiving yourself looks.
It was a Liz Lemon thing.
Regardless.
Anyways,
Ricky Lake takes good dumps on a regular basis. Continue.
2.5 dumps.
Because she is a famous person and she is not of a standard size, there's like a lot of commentary about her weight. And one of the first things that Christina says is she also does not seem nearly as overweight as I'd expected, which like... That's a thing you think and or maybe tell one friend. That's not something that should survive the edit of your article because what the fuck? I wonder if some magazines make her look fatter for shock value.
Didn't Jane just reply to somebody like one or two episodes ago in letters that we will try to do better on weight differences and stuff like that? Like, I'm pretty sure that was in the letters. And now this.
Yeah. She's like, and people were mean to her at school. You know, they made cruel jokes. It's like, yeah, like you're doing here. Like, they're not jokes, but it's the same thing. They're just not funny.
Ricky has a active Instagram page where she talks about her new engagement. She looks very happy these days. And she has talked about her hair in the past year. Yeah, she's still eating cheeseburgers in a diner, being cool.
Next time, we're talking about the fashion, etc., of the November 1988 issue. Dress for a party or the country or in suede. Learn some quick hair transformations. Get ready for the sunflower invasion and more.
Yeah, speaking about more, you can listen to the Listen to Sassy meets the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show episode coming September 20th. We've got three listeners playing sassy themed and sassy era pop culture games over there at usaquizshow.com. Subscribe now. You can support us, this podcast, on Patreon by joining the Listen to Sassy Club. It is just $5 a month. It gets you full magazine scans, Discord chat, free stickers, ad-free episodes, and merchandise discounts. That's patreon.com/listentosassy if you want to go directly there or check your show notes. And or support us for free. Rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice to help other listeners find us.
You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. You can leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine, and we may play it on a future episode. You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for all of us at listentosassy.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
This soundtrack for Imagine was a two CD thing, and I had it, or a two tape. I guess it was two tapes. But anyway, I played this one all the time. The movie's very pro Yoko and very romantic and talks to his kids and stuff. So
pro Yoko sounds like something that you, Pam, would get to put in your drinks because you think it's going to make you live forever.
Making that
pro Yoko. Yeah. I start every day with a pro Yoko and three drops of tiger's blood, and I'm going to live fucking forever.